2009. We will establish a moment at this time to take a roll call of my meeting left.
Commissioner Virginia Clapham, present.
Commissioner John Thomas, present.
Commissioner Renee Clark, present.
Commissioner Linda Mager, present.
Hello.
And you're
Commissioner.
My name is Gloria Cumming, present.
Good job. No, you're right off the. Okay, we'll start with Pledge Allegiance. Deborah, would you like to lead us in the Pledge Allegiance, please?
Of course. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Yes, thank you very much. Agenda item number four. Agenda items will be discussed in other matters.
You're asking for things to be discussed?
Any matters to this agenda at this time will be discussed during other matters portion of the agenda.
Okay, I would like to talk about the meeting that I had about
good.
The attendance of the meeting for the County Planning Commission.
The one on Monday?
Yeah.
Okay.
Good. We can add those under other matters. Any other that we can add? I might just
I have one item to add that I wanted to just bring up as a a future thought process, and that is that Shepherd House was recently donated several 160 new frames, and that they are working with the county to determine what type of zoning requirements that would mean. And I think that it's something that we as a city should consider, since we're going to be doing our own zoning. And I would like to put it on as an agenda item for a future meeting, and we could maybe discuss it a little bit tonight to see if other members or commissioners are open to that.
Could you say donate those homes?
It was donated to Shepherd's House by they didn't give their name.
Oh, okay, Shepherd's House.
I hadn't heard of Shepherd's House before.
That's a big ranch.
Yeah, like a deep little area to put them in. Good.
Well, I have a couple ideas that might work, but it's just something that recently there was an article. It wasn't an article. It was a request for tents and different things for the Little Pine Community Kitchen to be giving out. And if it's something that there's a real need, that maybe we can address it quicker, since we have the ability to do so, possibly.
Very good. Any other items? No? We'll move on to agenda item number five, public comments for items not on the agenda. Public? You have agenda items? These have got to be the most exciting meetings we're attracting all the time.
Slow down, Paul.
You're doing something right.
Yeah, that's a little bit slick, yes. Yeah, for the record, it's too slick for any public to make it. Okay, agenda item number six, continued discussion on the comprehensive plan and related modifications.
Let's just kind of recap what happened. We did a Measure 56 notice required by law to every property owner within the community, within the city limits, to let them know that we were preparing a comprehensive plan. And as you're aware, we've had almost a year's worth of public outreach meetings and work sessions to advise the public about what that was. And so the state requirement to do the Measure 56 notice wasn't a surprise to a lot of people. So at that meeting, we presented the comprehensive plan and we took testimony. And in that testimony, there were questions about the plan, things that needed to be polished or modified, which is typical. And tonight, we're going to talk a little bit about what those comments mean and to advise you that as we polish up the plan, we're going to have to make some changes. They're not going to be conceptual changes unless you authorize that. But there will be have to be some latitude for James and I to go through sections and make sure sentences are grammatically correct and link things to the map a little better, because we want to make sure the map tells the story and that the comprehensive plan does that. So there will be some work that James and I will do to make that happen. James has prepared a wonderful memorandum, and I'm going to let him just talk about some of the, the details there.
In the memo, or attached to it, there's two attachments. One was, and I tried to be, from my notes that I took at the meeting, and anything that you guys think need to be added or it's incorrect, what I heard from the public at the public hearing, things they said. And again, it's not meant to be, you know, word for word, and I'm trying to get that concept.
Is that anything that new that you brought tonight?
No. Okay, this is what we had before. And then the second attachment was, after that meeting, Deborah and I also went to one of the board commissioners meetings and kind of gave them the update, and they had questions from two perspectives. One was on the basis that they're a partner agency working with the city that you work with. Two is they're actually amending, they have to amend their comprehensive plan to kind of get rid of Lapine references in there. But then also they are a major property owner. It's not like they have any different rights from any other property owner. I mean, they're basically on the same plan. But, I mean, essentially they own, you know, roughly a third of the city, of the land area. So, you know, they're a major stakeholder. So what we did was I guess we'll discuss this a little bit more, because none of you were there. Wasn't that exciting. But we kind of gave them the background, and we did a lot of listening and answering questions, and I tried to basically encapsulate what they talked about. One of the biggest issues was as a property owner, and I'll just be straightforward as what they were concerned about was the widening of this strip from 200 feet, the green strip, to 500 feet. And what that does in terms of taking away developable land area from them, meaning it takes away value from the property. They're concerned about that from that standpoint, but also this, for some of the stuff they're doing out in the county, this was their transfer of development rights area. But then we also explained that in this transition area, kind of what we intended for that. And that we had in writing, I think, we've provided to you. So those were some of their main comments and questions.
We think we've balanced out what they think they're losing with the advantages in the mixed use area and the transition area. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we didn't hear huge negativity once they understood that transition area can gain back any lost units. And even though they're probably still in the back of their minds going to say, I don't want to give up the land for open space, the community was very clear that they want these open space linkages, that we have a wildlife corridor somewhere in the community, that this corridor already exists, and it's the proper place to link up existing resources. So we talked about those things, and we also reminded the county, again, it's a 20-year plan. Mm-hmm. 20 years to make this happen. It doesn't happen overnight.
Where did I read that they wanted that transition area extended westward all the way to?
Yeah, it's basically across the yellow area where it stops.
For continuity, connect it over so that it's clear to the community that it just doesn't end at a little point.
So I thought you were talking about the transition area.
This is the transition area here.
Okay. See, I thought they were talking about that extending.
They're talking to both.
Oh.
They're talking about this extending, so the map to the eye shows that the corridor will function not only on the county land, but across some of this land too.
Well, I would just say, you know, how's that going to affect the land use on those private landowners right there in that yellow, you know?
Yeah, because that's privately owned right now, right?
That's right. It's all private owned. Like,
over 20 years, the city will have choices through grants or other opportunities to purchase that land. If that never, ever works for the corridor, we may have to shift. But if you don't plan it now, you never have the chance.
So that's one thing the county wanted us to show.
For wildlife corridors, working great right now because the deer and elk don't see those lines. So they're...
And they don't need signs.
Yeah, and all that. So they're working fine there.
But if this develops, they're going to be forced out somewhere.
And see that, yeah, it's a bit of a trade-off into the county because I think we'd like to see another wider strip down south, which we gave up. You know, I had sketched two transition areas through there, and now there's down to one. So there's been trade-offs on both sides, I think. But yeah, and then the transition area, I'm sorry I interrupted you, on to the north was that it extended all the way to Huntington Road, that...
in actuality, where the school site
is,
not in the right spot on this.
No, it isn't.
So what would happen is the school site, we've shifted it down here, and then this transition area would extend. It could extend all the way to Huntington, but right now we're just showing it on the county property.
And James, those properties that are residential that actually have commercial units on them now?
That's right up there.
Mm-hmm. Right up there.
Yeah, so we would change that.
Yeah, and one of those is mine. I'd have to tell you, just so everybody knows, you know where it says little Pioneer Crossing, there's a little sign there and stuff says Pioneer Crossing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's the old of that. My wife and I own that piece of property right there, just so you know. It's always been used as commercial. It's never been used as residential. Right now it's zoned R10.
Mm-hmm.
I've been fighting with the county for a couple of years now to get it to go commercial. And I gave up on it and said, you know what? We'll hang on a little pine.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't really rude with them, but basically that's it.
So we have some map changes that flow from the comments that we received.
Yeah, and so what I tried to do, though, is if you remember at the hearing, we answered a lot of the questions that the public had when they, you know, that night, which is kind of atypical for what you do at a hearing.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried, and then in the memo, I've kind of given the answers to the questions that are on the attachment, if you were able to make up those numbers away from there. But then I also provided for all of you, kind of the answers that we gave to the county commissioners and the descriptions on your questions that were on the attached document. And so, you know, at this point, I guess, when we come back to the work session, we look at this work session and say, okay, what was the purpose of the work session?
No more
questions. Yeah, what is the purpose of the work session? The work session is essentially your opportunity to sit and discuss, without the formality of a public hearing, what you heard at the public hearing, what your own thoughts are in reading the document, and things that you know about living in the community, and things you hear from the citizens, things that you've heard from us. And this is the point, I guess, where you look at the document and you say, okay, aside from the background data, we want that to be accurate, but you look at the goals and the policies.
Mm-hmm.
And do they, is there anything, now there's a lot of them in there, and it's a lot of reading. I was at the County Planning Commission meeting last week on their draft documents, about 450 pages.
Yeah.
Don't have that much reading.
James, I have a question. How many people were at that meeting? I wasn't there, so...
Hearing?
Yeah.
It was right around 20 people.
About 20.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And quite a few of them did actually have questions.
Yep.
It sounds like...
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And so today, it's basically, when you read through the goals and policies in that draft document and what you've heard here today, this is your opportunity to discuss among yourselves. Maybe two of you have an idea on one policy on transportation, should say one thing, and two of you think something else. Just to work through those, get our input, work with us, so that then when we get to the meeting next week, we get to the final public hearing. It's kind of that final opportunity for the community, after they got some of our answers, to come back and say maybe additional things to you, or somebody comes back and says, hey, I asked this question, what do you think about it? And to just work out what you want this final document to be, because ultimately the hearing will close. All of you then have to make a formal recommendation on this document to the City Council. And so if there are things here that you've gone through and highlighted that you want to make a motion to recommend, not even a motion, but to recommend a change to something in this document.
This is a work session?
It would be.
This is a work session.
Yeah, so it would be a discussion among.
Now, one thing we have talked about in process is if you felt like there were questions that still required public input and you wanted to continue the meeting, you could. It doesn't have to be a final meeting until you think you've resolved the bulk of the issues. And I was talking with Linda earlier before the meeting started. There are going to be some tune-up things that James and I just have to have some latitude to get done that we're not going to bring back to you because we changed the sentence here and there. One item we're going to talk tonight about is how to link that map with densities for different areas. And just briefly, before we get into your main discussion, you want to have a flexible density program in the Pine. You don't want to be so rigid that you can't have creative proposals come in. Mm-hmm. And you don't want to be so loose that you're getting apartments six stories high next to a single family home. Mm-hmm. So it's a delicate balance, but at this point, the bulk of the work is just goals and policies. We deal with a lot of that stuff later in the zoning ordinance. But we have to put something on the map in terms of densities. So I just want to let you know about that now.
So it would be, and typically the densities, I mean, that's the beauty of it is it's a range. So when you look at single family, you look at multifamily designated areas, you know, single family could range anywhere from, you know, 3 to 9 units per acre, for example, could be your density range. Mm-hmm. So it's, those are the things that we haven't done a real good job in that document linking that type of information to that map. So, but the policies, I mean, those are your call, your decision. Do the policies provide that general direction that you believe is necessary for the community?
What we could do is basically just kind of get general consensus and go line by line. Just go down through this real quickly.
The comments?
Yeah, comments from public hearing. Well, there's one here that's
public hearing notes.
Yeah, so on Jane's memorandum here, down the third down, it says comments from public hearing testimony. Mm-hmm. As far as the, you know, long term, okay, just think about the verbiage, desire of the city to administer the water and service, basically to incorporate city water and sewer, water and sewer, but now it isn't city, into the city water and sewer. What does anybody think about that?
Well, that has been the intent all along. The main reason that it wasn't done immediately was strictly financial.
Just cost, yeah.
Because of the, the legal part of it.
Right.
But the way that this says working toward, I mean, that was the intent. There was never an intent to keep them separate.
Yeah, so every city you go to in America, there's so-and-so city and water and sewer. I mean, you know, it's...
Right.
And we're working towards that in 20 years.
Well, basically it's saying working towards. So. Mm-hmm.
And you've got a subcommittee that's starting to form to look at the issue.
Right. Mm-hmm. Changing
progress.
Yeah. So basically that sounds very logical. Number two, because the amount of land currently... Okay.
Wait, let's start.
Okay, go ahead.
Because it breaks it into sections,
that's right.
And it
suggestion.
Says the second comment is valid, provide clarification or rationale.
Yes.
If a statement is indeed.
What statement are they talking about?
Well, I say the second comment is valid. It's linked to this document right here. I'm sorry I broke them up. Like, as I said, I was like, man, I should just put them all together. But, there's a comment under number one on this document. The second comment says page 5, number 6, change the text to specify that Deschutes County found overall that there were low levels of nitrates, but the model predicted higher levels. We have references in the comp plan that don't say it in that. What the commenter wanted was
clear that it's a projection.
Exactly, that it's not really the case today.
Yes.
It was a projected case.
And we need to.
And that that needed to be clarified. So that's why I think, you know, it is.
And I agree that because of the sensitivity of the subject and the fact that in the city of Blue Pine, the intent is that we are covered by water and sewer districts, that it puts a less emphasis on that as an issue because we don't want to have something that's going to detract from one.
Right, and we can't actually allow, you know, there's Deschutes County still out off the Day Road and everything, and a lot of that will kind of want to bleed into City of Blue Pine, and keep in mind we are City of Blue Pine and not South Deschutes County, so we have to be kind of sensitive to that also.
I will say, the meeting I went to the other day, that was an issue that was brought up, and that the sensitivity of the verbiage, and it looks like, I can't say for sure, but that looks like the county is going to be looking at their verbiage also.
Yes, they are.
So.
Good.
Oh, for the wrong couple.
Good. Good.
And then, so the third item under that was then, there was possibly, under that very first comment, number one says page 11 under goal 14, possibly include a reference that the BLM or slash rodeo grounds parcel should be included in the city limits. And I guess we'll jump to the, that was kind of the last comment.
Or the urban growth boundary.
Or the urban growth boundary. But that was a comment from the county as well. They believe ultimately, the commissioner suggested that that parcel, you see on the southwest side of the town, should be part of the city or part of the urban growth boundary. That's truly, I mean, we can provide the input, but that's truly a policy question.
Yeah, and there's some strategic issues that need to come into play here. I think it makes sense to have a policy that as a first priority, if that land is indeed transferred, that the city move to annex that as soon as possible. Expanding the UGB, you could do that, but right now through this process, it would complicate things. The UGB is the city limits. City limits contains a huge amount of land. We could certainly write findings if you directed us to say it's recreational land and we want to make the UGB expand it now, or we could do that as a secondary process, which is cleaner.
You could actually use some very strong language to make it very easy in the future.
Yes.
Annex that.
Yeah. To me, that is the cleaner process. Get through this very straightforward comprehensive plan process now and not get our process hung up with should your UGB be bigger than the city limits.
And, you know,
it's just a thought, you know.
I always think that the Parks and Rec will be a major player in this planning commission because the fact that we're just all about recreation and everything in Blue Pine, so we don't want to make anything tough that's not
make
necessarily
sure.
The Parks and Rec. So.
And so that's why I think, because of some of those issues, what's the involvement of Parks and Rec going to be on this piece in the future? Who's going to own it, manage it? What does it cost? Those things you could make very strong language, a policy statement that says, if and when that transfer takes place, should the city look at it for inclusion, those types of things. But until you know all those details, it's very hard to say we want it in here now.
And because we have no, there is no really services we can bring to the table and everything with that now, so with that inclusion. So
once you get it, you got to deal with it, essentially. So.
And the Park and Rec, you know, the Bones are doing an awesome job. We don't want to pull the reins back on them right now with what they're doing.
Good plan. Reins ready on the
So did you come up with a reference that would satisfy that, or?
Well, we did not, and so that's what we were hoping to hear tonight. Because I started to do that one. We have some suggestions from the consultants. I had a section I was going to say suggested policies, but I didn't want to be presumptuous that if you did go down the road and say you do want that policy, it's your call. This is where we would go back and we would draft a suggested policy.
And it's where you should have some dialogue. If you feel strongly in one direction, we can do that. Our feeling is keep the process clean. and give good language in the comp plan that makes it easy for people to operate once that land gets in.
Mm-hmm. What about something like the city will work with the Parks and Recreation Department to provide, you know, recreational abilities or whatever, something like that.
You want it as general. Yeah. We don't want you to for good things like this that should slip right through, that there are no issues on, should not be belabored with process.
Right.
We don't like a lot of process, and so that's our bias, mm-hmm. is that process should
well,
be
the only thing I might throw out is if that county ends up with that land transfer under county ownership, would we somehow be slowing down transfer into the city of Lapine, you know, with that process?
No. No, the restrictions on land that goes from BLM to another agency, they are what they are. Getting it inside the city just gives you greater control.
I don't think the city really wants greater control at this point. I don't think they want to deal with it.
It's possible. Usually the rule is when BLM land transfers to a different agency, it has to be used for a public purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's used for a public recreational grounds through the park district, that's fine. Yeah. That works.
You know, James, on this language here, when it said possibly, possibly, is this the county's language?
No, no. This right here where it says possibly include reference to the... No, this was,
And then under that said should be, you know, so possibly and then should.
These were just my notes.
Okay.
From what I heard somebody say. They said, you know, not verbatim, but they said you possibly, or I forget what it was, but essentially suggesting you may consider, telling all of you,
okay,
for consideration, you should consider whether or not you want
as
the BLM
to land on a possibly of that parcel, and if they say should, my ears perk up, you know.
And I think that was the sentiment. I don't think it wasn't really saying you hey, think about this. It was saying you should think about this, but I think you should think about it in the context that it should be included in the city in the future. That was the suggestion, as it was the testimony. And the county commissioners kind of said the same thing. I think they see that if that transfers in the future, that it would be best within the city.
Yeah.
So what I guess I've been throwing out there is, for example, in chapter and whatever, the Parks and Rec section, we have policies. There are a lot of policies about coordination between Parks and Rec and the city, creation of new parks, but we don't have anything specific to the BLM or rodeo grounds. We could add a policy.
Mm-hmm.
This is where we would direct us to. We would draft a new policy referring to what we were just talking about, that the city shall consider in conjunction with Deschutes County and Parks and Rec, that when the BLM transfer, if and when it occurs, that should be considered for inclusion in the urban growth boundary or city limits at that time.
And maybe just include all the parcels that one up north on Wikia Junction.
Roslyn.
We have one there.
Is it outside the city? Roslyn's inside the campground up there.
Oh,
is that what
you're talking about? No, I'm sorry. I'm talking about the whole. I'm just talking about the whole park and rec thing now. I kind of got off on that.
Okay, so that was the one where we would draft a whole brand new policy, and I think it would go into that section, and the city would be making a strong statement.
Including that section, sure.
We think it's viable in the future.
Does anyone else have any type of language they want to help them with drafting it in?
We'll put it in under Goal 14.2 under the urbanization section as a double check.
Cool.
So you'll have it in two places.
Okay. Number two, because the amount of land inside the city, now we're talking about expanding the urban growth boundary, whether it was sufficient or not, and all that. What are some comments there?
Properties near the city limits, inclusion for annexation would be based on an overall community need. Now, there's always unusual situations where something should come in because of its topography or it links with another site that's already developed that could only benefit from a piece coming in. But normally, in this particular case, you have plenty of land inside the city limits. So annexation for anything more would really have to have a pretty good reason, because you have so much land to play with now.
But that actually precludes, I mean, that doesn't have anything to do with an area that everybody would want to become a part of this city. That's a whole different animal, right?
Yeah, that's an exception thing, sure.
Okay. I have a question, because I may not be familiar with it, but when the city, if and when the city takes over sewer and water, what is the current policy with the sewer and water district for? Are they only within the city limits, or are they, because they're not under city?
You could.
Is there an agreement with the city that they won't expand? Because what I'm looking at is the fact that at that point, we would want to like look at if there's a community that's wanting to get sewer and water, what we run the risk of is that if the city's not in charge of the district, that the district can basically choose to expand beyond the limits, and we wouldn't be getting fees at a certain point. Or how does that work?
There are state laws about what you can serve outside an urban growth boundary, and the district may have a service area that's not the same as the city limits now. That's a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
But developing an annexation policy is something that you would move towards in the future. So we could put something like that into the comp plan, but we don't have to make that decision now in the comprehensive plan.
I guess what I was thinking is for future reference, for example, they have the services, the city services, mm-hmm. but they're not in the city, and they choose not to, that they want to fight an annexation.
Gotcha.
Do you see what I'm saying?
The best of both worlds, kind of.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And so it may not be in the city's best interest to.
Right, and that would be examined and discussed with certain protocols developed in an annexation policy that I think is separate than this.
But it is. But also, I mean, Deborah referred to the state. The state law makes it very, 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 very difficult to extend water and sewer outside of an urban growth boundary. So for even, that was kind of strange. So even if the water sewer district wanted to provide those services, I mean, they're a quasi-municipal entity now.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't really provide sewer, for example, service outside of the city, outside the urban growth
until
boundary.
Legislation changes.
Until legislation changes.
And I'm the only one in the world that happens.
And that is poverty, but there are. It's quite strange.
Somebody's
outside.
What's
seen?
Is somebody?
They
want to
get in the door.
Oh, the door closed.
The cat wants to.
Yeah.
There you go.
But,
I don't know which one.
He's on that other door there.
Oh.
Think of it this way as a hypothetical. If there was a community just outside the city limits that was already served with district sewer and water, then the city would think, okay, maybe it does make sense to annex that parcel in because we would have instant revenues and they're already served and it's low impact to the community. But we don't deal with that in the comprehensive plan. We deal with that separately.
Okay. I was just curious.
Yeah, it's more of a how you serve versus who you serve. Who you serve is kind of gets out of the realm of this. But it would be very difficult to do. But actually, what's really funny, when you talk about legislation that would change the ability to provide sewer or water outlying areas from a municipal system. The county commissioners, one of their comments was, or one of the county staff, maybe Dave Canner, talking about Lapine. You may want to include something or a reference to Lapine. Could be considered as a regional sewer service district because you have room to expand. You're looking at BLM transfer to the county, and that would be next to where the existing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not allowed now, but because of the groundwater issues that the county's brought up, they're saying, well, maybe this would be a special case where you can provide sewer outside of an urban growth boundary.
Yeah, they're talking
about it. But it takes legislation
and that could possibly lead into your comment about if they have all the services, why would they want?
Well, I'm just thinking of the fight that we had for years, even getting a city, and wanting to include areas mm-hmm. that were saying, well, we don't have the city services, why would we want to be part of the city mm-hmm. and be taxed as such?
Right.
Well, if we look at the fact that they may start getting those services right. and they still don't want to be then
good point.
You know,
that is a good point.
Issue.
Yep, we will be part of looking at that in the future. Yep.
Did you have a comment?
Well, I don't think it's when you're looking at neighborhoods like, you know, my neighborhood off 6 feet or mm-hmm. Bay Road area or Pine Rose of Pines or New Orleans, any of those things. If you're looking at acre plots of land, it would make no sense. It would be financially impossible to hook that those kinds of areas up to a central sewer system, so you don't have to worry about it. You know,
well,
if they're talking about sewers, they're talking about cluster okay. sewers, you know, per neighborhood.
They have done it. They have expanded sewer services, for example, out to Water Wonderland, where they hooked up to a sewer and it's being pumped out by Vandenberg. Do you see what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, okay.
So,
that's what I remember you mean. Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, it's not unheard of. It does happen, and it is possible. So,
yeah. But
and they're looking at the pond, too. So.
They're looking at cluster systems more than a central system.
Which was probably
not good. Yeah, it would be very, you're right. I mean, to serve 1 acre lots for the infrastructure that you put in mm-hmm. and the cost, mm-hmm. that's why the state also pushes all this density into the city, so you get more bang for your buck.
Okay. Item number three, comment. And it was just comment. An urban reserve area, UAR, should be designated so that it is known what properties should be brought into the city in the future. An urban reserve area that we don't have currently.
No, you have a UGB that's supposed to last 20 years,
mm-hmm.
and the comment was, well, beyond the 20 years, where would you look?
Mm-hmm.
And if we were to bring out, which I didn't bring, the area showing where existing development has already occurred or is logically closest to the city, you could look at a quarter mile mm-hmm. around the community and say, well, that's pretty logical. Within a quarter mile, after mm-hmm. 20 years, we'd look there first.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I think that gives a rough boundary, and given the unique features that we see from the aerial, it might poke out in different areas,
mm-hmm.
but I think that's all we have to do.
And it kind of looked like, to me, number two and three there were just two different
yeah.
people with different perspectives
yeah.
right there.
It's essentially meaningless. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just a boundary of where you might look.
And to do it now, I remember... you asked the question on the number of acres that we had in the findings. Because when I went back to the document, it was 976 or whatever
yeah,
acres.
27.
And it's 2,700 acres mm-hmm. are available. So
right.
if you look at, you know, in 20 years, you're still going to have three times the amount of residential mm-hmm. land is what you need.
Mm-hmm.
That the need to do urban reserves planning to figure out where you're going to grow next is, I mean, you can put that. It's not high on your priority list.
It's, we don't have water and sewer within the boundaries now. So really, you know, this discussion on we just became a city and to expand it already, I think, should probably be tabled for maybe 5-10 years. I mean, you know, we're going to have a lot of other things to discuss.
Well,
so
people want to know that, people that live around the city.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, under the state law, you have to do to expand an urban growth boundary. There's so much justification
mm-hmm.
as to where you expand and why you expand. You have to show the need.
Could we put a couple of words in there about a couple of neighborhoods that we could probably pinpoint very quickly and go like, if and when these would more than likely be included. I mean, you know, because you can see on a map the ones that are bordering,
mm-hmm.
and there's only a few of them. That would certainly satisfy.
You could do that, or we were even thinking more general that in 2 years you examine the community's interest of where growth would want to go, and kind of keep the community involved.
Yeah,
that's
what I think.
You might get some backlash if we do some communities without really...
Because I don't really, want to go there again with.
To make a statement like that, I'll spin it around, is that when you do urban growth boundary expansions, oftentimes it is to take in land needed for growth, meaning vacant developable land. Mm-hmm. If you're taking in existing neighborhoods, mm-hmm. you're not really meeting that need to have vacant developable land. So, you know, it's really, if I think, like, you know, we watched for 4 years, Bend has been doing their urban growth boundary expansion process, and everyone says, well, gee, Deschutes River Woods right there would be a logical place that already has urban levels of densities, but you can't, it's hard to justify. That becomes an area that you have to provide water and sewer to and service to, and so it's kind of a similar situation to what you have here.
Okay.
So are you comfortable with maybe a more comprehensive look in 2 years?
Yes.
I'd like to put something on the
list.
Okay.
That sounds great.
So we'll check up 2 years. Okay. I want to be force feeding, but that's the idea.
No, I agree.
Yep. Okay. The comment number four there, one challenge is that there are two lapines. One is a traditional lapine down south where the majority of business is located. The other one is at the Wikia Junction, which a lot of people constantly refer to that as another town. There's a sense of isolation for those residing in the Wikia Junction area. Just throw that out before I add
one. Kind of is what it is.
Yeah. Well, you did respond to it at the meeting as far as your efforts to kind of change it a little bit.
Yeah, the connection there, when you think about the map, is you have the transition areas, you have your natural corridors for linking up resource areas, and if we look at Lapine as a total, you've got the three neighborhoods, each have their own unique identity. Mm-hmm. It doesn't all have to be commercial along that highway. That would be like the worst thing to do. Mm-hmm. And the linkage doesn't necessarily have to be visual to the driver as much as it does to how the components of the neighborhoods function. That's more important than mm-hmm. what you see on the highway. Mm-hmm. So sometimes people think, well, you know, the visuals have to be homogenous all the way through. I would rather function, or at least what we were thinking, is the three neighborhoods should be self-supporting and sustainable, and at the end of the 20-year process, you're going to have things that link them up, and you're going to know Lapine is all mm-hmm. together.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Right now, you just it's just not that.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's people vision that I'm impatient also, and I'd like to see tomorrow, I'd like to see more continuity through there. But it is what it is, like you ever said, and it's something we have to deal with. I've got an idea that you could install signs at a couple hundred yard intervals in through there, and you know how you go along a farm road and it says, "You're now in the city of Lapine. Enjoy the city of Lapine." Stop in the city of Lapine and have signs all the way through so that people realize they're still in Lapine. I don't know.
You know,
a city center sign,
yeah.
possibly.
It's an what you're talking about is an excellent program that some cities do as they transition from a billboard environment, a cluttered environment, to more of a community kiosk mm-hmm. that identifies the community. It may have the city logo, mm-hmm. may have a city shape that identifies Lapine. Mm-hmm. And you're exactly right. Those things can kind of pull mm-hmm. together. And when we go through the sign code, as we have to work with the larger companies that own mm-hmm. the billboards, we want to get those babies shrunk down to something that's more community-oriented.
Yeah. And my other idea was blow up buildings that you could just play after. A sign was a lot easier, so.
Yeah, so that's more of a theoretical concept.
And we have a City of Lapine sign on the north end that's after Wikia.
I cannot see that. For some reason,
and,
that's...
You know, it just makes it like... What's this?
There's trees in the way.
You know, what's all this? And then there's the city of Lapine. And then mm-hmm. there's nothing, and then you come into the city.
We need mm-hmm. to cut a few trees out of the way and put a big light on that or something. I can't see.
Or move it up to the other side of
Wikia.
Move it to, you mean the real city limits?
Yeah, to the real city limits.
Wow.
Gosh, wouldn't that be nice?
We could have Lapine North and Lapine South.
That's Lapine.
Yeah,
all the way up by Le Schwab.
That's a good idea.
But everything you're talking about are great marketing advantages for getting people interested in the sign code.
Mm-hmm.
And sign codes are always difficult.
Mm-hmm.
But this is what you're talking about is a point of creativity to get people really energized about the product. And it'll diffuse a lot of the anger, too. Airports.
Do we have to go there?
No.
I think that we need some very...
That's 5, 6, 7.
Some very strong language in support of the new airport, which within 20 years, I believe, will be built. As we said, we've talked about a little bit about it being outside the city limits at this time.
And wasn't our discussion that at some point in time a study group needed to be formed?
Mm-hmm. There has been. That's the problem.
There's been a lot of,
But a continuation?
Mm-hmm. But it really needs to be this small, just a neat little small regional airport. But when you do look within the city of Lapine boundaries right now, as even though we're the 10th largest geographical size city in the state of Oregon, which could allow an airport to be inside of it, but when you look at it, it actually starts looking kind of small for an airport.
Yeah.
You know, so then you start just...
How does the Bend Airport work? Because I keep hearing different articles that say... No, okay. No, but it says...
There you go.
Thank you.
But they
had said that it's called the Bend Municipal Airport, but it's in the county jurisdiction, not in the Bend City jurisdiction, but the city took on debt based on job growth, and they're not meeting the job growth, and the city, being held responsible. So my question is, even if it's not in the city limits, at some point the city could take responsibility for it. Is that correct?
It's do you want to own it or not?
Right.
Question. It's kind of same with the road. Be careful what you ask for.
Right. And so the only thing I'm looking at is, it's fine if it's in the 20-year plan, and I know that other people probably would argue with me, but I'm more concerned about more immediate on our agenda topics that really need to get completed in the next 2 years.
We examined the template that was needed for the airport under the previous studies that had been done. That template is pretty large acreage, about 300 acres. And we also looked at the competing need of where you would put it with the long-term needs of sewer distribution. Mm-hmm. And what's more important to this community now is to have reliable places to put effluent.
Mm-hmm.
And with the BLM transfer, it seemed to be what we heard from citizens is that was a higher priority than reserving the east side of the community for the airport. So what we have in the plan is not an emphasis on the airport inside the city limits, but that it should be studied somewhere in the community outside the city limits is the most appropriate area.
So the problem, the whole airport thing started, we had to form a city in order to be able to deal with anybody to get an airport.
Yeah.
And there was never really any intention of putting the airport within the city limits. What they really were looking for was support from the city as far as, having a legal entity to deal with.
Yeah.
Because there were a lot of people that were very interested in investing in it.
And
there was a lot of money. We're talking UPS, we're talking fire, we're talking the industrial area. I mean,
absolutely.
It was a benefit.
The Bend Airport is an example. I think you have it's ownership by the city, and this is my own opinion. And you have an existing airport has lots of rural residences around it.
Mm-hmm.
You have growing population. They have desires for additional hangars. They own planes. There are people that are pilots. the city looks at it as an economic driver that, gee, we can have business out here. Mm-hmm. Well, that causes then a rub with the people that live mm-hmm. out there.
Yeah.
And the city, I was trying to manage it so that it makes money.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you do that? You develop. And the county's looking at it from the perspective of, okay, well, what we're hearing is from our citizens that live around here, so we don't necessarily want more development. We don't want it an expanded airport. And so I think it's different if you... They're responding to an airport that's been there for years. If you mm-hmm. plan it correctly mm-hmm. today, mm-hmm. and you locate it maybe not in the city, you locate it outside the city. And I think, long story short, as you come back to the policy that says that the city will participate in those discussions in some fashion, I think what we're suggesting is that you can make a decision, the council can make a decision. Do you want to be the leader? Do you want to create that committee? Do you want to say, hey, if a private group does it, or the county does it, we'll participate, but we don't want to be the driver of that?
I was actually looking for the transportation system plan to have a subcommittee under that. I envision Lapine just being this huge community in 20 years. And it may just be 1,000 people, but it may not. And so I'm trying to consolidate everything so lessens our workload with these five people right here. Mm-hmm. And if we have a transportation systems plan committee that's dealing with everything on transportation, then it leaves us just to a lot less work.
The only thing is with that one, I do know that there's a great deal of interest within Liggy too, within the mm-hmm. industrial group, because they're looking yep. at this commercial.
Yep.
So it wouldn't be strictly. In fact, actually, that would probably be the minimal part of an airport would be transportation at this
mm-hmm.
point.
Yeah.
So, or at least for many years.
Well, and that Liggy should fall into an economic mm-hmm. driver for the comp plan. An economic subcommittee should be Liggy should be a major player in that.
You talked about the transportation element. We know it's part of the transportation choices the community has. It's just a matter of time and placement of where it goes. So it's more of a temporal issue. If we have a policy that says sometime we've got to deal with this, and we can work on that language.
I would like to see some stronger language than it's in the comp plan right now. Right
stronger?
Now, okay. It just, and maybe having that subcommittee and then visiting it just a continual basis, because I don't want to stop. If that airport, if everything came together in that airport, next year was able to break ground, I don't want anything to stop that process.
Okay.
Where's that?
Page 60.
About the airport?
Yeah, there was transportation.
That section.
Oh, there was a just specifically on the airport. Alternative modes of transportation. Air and rail on page 64. There are currently no air travel facilities on the line. The closest background. It has been acknowledged in Air Strip and Pine. How about right after that?
Okay.
Talk a little more about the city, as a policy, being, I don't know how you want to word it, but really being sensitive to, and listening to that committee.
Okay.
Because what that could come out of that committee is there could be some economic drivers come out of that committee that the city could shoot down very easily that shouldn't happen.
So be proactive and more responsive to locating
mm-hmm.
Municipal airport somewhere near the Lapine community?
Yeah.
Okay.
Something to that effect. It just, when I hear city doing all the time is shooting that down without any consideration, and I don't, I think that's wrong. That should be left open.
What we would do is we could add some language under that, giving some background rationale, and then it would be a policy that would end up in here.
Possible to add specifically that the city would be in support of it, whether it was taken on by the city or if it was a private industry.
Yeah,
or private ownership. I mean, that's the conflict that I hear from the city council, that they've looked at it and they've said,
we don't want
to take on this huge responsibility of signing off the expense. And so, and that the percentage of people that they see that want it is smaller than the percentage of people in the rest of the community that want the funds spent elsewhere.
So it could be strong language, but it could be general in terms of, for example, we could have a policies in the transportation section and in the economic section that would say, just as the city, for example, in the economic section, it would say, the city policy is, the city believes that an airport serving the Lapine area, the Lapine region, would be a strong economic driver, that this policy, and that the city will support efforts toward examining the creation, location of an airport. But it won't say anything about ownership.
Right. And possibly located outside.
It's a good idea. Drives the economy. Makes it easier to get in and out of the area for recreation or business. Mm-hmm. But it's absent on who. And then another policy saying the city will participate in, and that's, I guess, the question. Do you want the city to drive the committee to look at this, or...
That won't work.
Well, like I said, the biggest problem that they ran into was the fact that they couldn't deal with any government agencies without at least a letter of support from the city. So
we can't get the matching federal funds unless the city.
Right, and that's basically the original airport. You know, with the grants that they had, it looks like 95% paid for.
Yeah, huge grants.
They never, were able to get the support. So.
Okay, and also under this public transit system,
we do have a public transit system in Lapine, curb to curb, door to door in the whole city limits. I drive it 5 days a week.
Yeah, that should be referenced in there.
So it says that we go to Bend, but we also run Lapine. I run door to door in Lapine. Okay. I take people to the grocery store, to the post office, to anywhere they need to go, curb to curb.
Okay.
Anyone.
We have a wonderful public.
Yes.
I just have a question. I don't know if I'm supposed to be the last question or not or whatever.
Go ahead and have this work session.
Is it okay? I'm just wondering, pro bus, everything else, but I'm also wondering, did anybody include anything about the railroad track?
It's in here.
But it's very general because there's no stop here. There's no.
It's Burlington. No other owns it. And they're not about to stop here right now. Yeah. But that doesn't
mean they're looking 20 years. You never know what's going to happen.
Something costs to like
stop running. It'd be nice to have a backup system like a train that actually would stop here.
It would.
Could we add a sentence that says that the city look forward to,
open to expanded rail opportunities. You never know, Warren Buffett just bought a big chunk.
Okay, that took care of 8. Well, we covered a lot of
it. They covered 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, 40, 41, 42, 43, 44, 45, 46, 47, 48, 49, 50, 51, 52, 53, 54, 55, 56, 57, 58, 59, 60, 61, 62, 63, 64, 65, 66, 67, 68, 69, 70, 71, 72, 73, 74, 75, 76, 77, 78, 79, 80, 81, 82, 83, 84, 85, 86, 87, 88, 89, 90, 91, 92, 93, 94, 95, 96, 97, 98, 100, 101, 102, 103, 104, 105, 106, 107, 108, 109, 110, 111, 112, 113, 114, 115, 116, 117, 118, 119, 120, 121, 122, 123, 124, 125, 126, 127, 128, 129, 130, 131, 132, 133, Now, suggestion and agree to policy in the conference plan, city will either organize or work with the transportation advisory group. Tag group is in formation right now. There is a tag group. It's basically South Deschutes County. Enter Deschutes County to explore the creation of an airport in the Pine area. Along that tag group, that's what I was talking about the other day about involving that into transportation system plan committee, because the original transportation advisory group should stay in formation. However, we need some of that committee to help with City of Lapine, and so I'm not quite certain how that's going to work. We'll have to discuss that with the commissioners.
What does the existing committee do? Because
the original formed to work with ODOT and Deschutes County to advise ODOT and Deschutes County. That's when Lapine wasn't any kind of incorporation, and so that's what that committee was formed to do.
Okay.
However, now there's a lot of concerns only within the city limits. We almost need that Southern Deschutes County formation still, but need some sort of breakout for inside the city limits, so I don't know how we're going to
do it. The only problem, John, was that an actual committee, did they ever take minutes? Did they ever do any, I mean, was it an official committee? Was it an official
process? So now we need an official one.
Yeah.
As a subcommittee under the, that's, I don't want to burden the City of Lapine anymore that they've just
right.
shown. Yeah, so I think we could possibly, and that's this letter I was asking for. Now they want a little more detail. So, because see, we're agents now of the city, and so now they get this letter saying they want a lot of detail, I think. So,
it's kind of a who, what, where, when, and why of what this committee could do. And if I could speak frankly for a moment, in transportation issues, it's really helpful for Lapine to have a strong lobby because so many other people are fighting for the same dollars.
Oh, yeah.
And this group can be very instrumental in saying, we've talked with our neighborhoods, we've got the three neighborhoods organized, and here are the concerns. And when you develop your STIP at the state level, here's what Lapine needs. And that proactive type of lobbying is what I see this group helping the city council do. Now, if I'm wrong about that, let me know. But until this group is formed, the pulse of the community is just what we hear at this level.
And are you talking, so it would be an officially like council created?
That's what this was meant to be.
An advisor group to the city?
Yeah.
Well, on transportation issues. Okay.
You know, they say come back with a detailed vision on who could be on this committee. Let us know what the envisions of the committee are.
Yeah, they want
that actually should be developed by the committee themselves, what their vision is and what their goal and everything. You know, when the committee is formed,
we almost
right?
need to, just like
it's
I said,
it's kind of like you get back to the policies that are in the comprehensive plan regarding transportation.
Yeah. And the city's goals that they've developed so that you're not out of sync.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And
that group. Yeah. And the worst thing, here's what the city council wants to avoid. You appoint a committee and they don't know what they need to do.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So you've got to provide that structure.
We could develop a work session in the future to actually meet with the old tag and then just let it evolve from there.
Yeah, tell me when it legitimizes them.
And it stands.
Go ahead.
I'd like to say something, Sharon. I'm a resident of Lapine, but I've been here for 16 years. I lived here for 60. Came from Roseburg. And when this whole thing started about Lapine, there wasn't a soul in this community that wasn't asked to support it or not support it. It wasn't Lapine's, Little Lapine. And I support it 100%. My wife and I both did, and was really glad to see it incorporated. When I sit and listen to it, what's happened since then has been nothing. It's been a lot of talk and nothing. I think this airport thing, if you take this airport thing, that's the one item that you got that encompasses the whole community. I think it really does. It's a benefit. You can put a street light downtown here, you can do anything you want to, that benefits everybody right here. An airport will enhance the whole area. I don't have an airplane and I don't plan to buy one, but I'm telling you how to run a damn business. And what I think you do, and that is, if you put an effort into building an airport and to bring, look what Bend has done just with manufacturers of airplanes and the money that they brought into it and the government, the stimulus packages, and way before that, the grants to it. I think you guys got a golden opportunity not only to get an airport, but to do something.
Yeah. Gogan, we need you at the next.
That's my opinion. I believe it 100%.
What?
And we can sit here and poo-poo it all we want to.
Exactly.
You guys can if you want to. But you're not going to get any more respect or any more help from anybody until you get something done.
Right. Someone give Dobie the next city council meeting.
It'll be November 24th.
Right this town.
At 6 p.m.
November 24th, 6 p.m. right here. There's an area on there that will public comments.
Yeah.
And then you can open right up on them.
There's, you know, I love the farm. I love every one of you guys. But there ain't a damn thing wrong with saying what's what.
Yeah, and just get
it. Nothing's been wrong. We haven't got nothing we can put our teeth in.
You and I are kind of getting around
the
thing. That's the 19th.
We haven't got a thing.
Yeah. I agree.
If I could get the city limits to my house tomorrow, I'd do it. Mm-hmm. And believe me, I'd be the leader.
Yeah, come to that council meeting and just see, because remember the Planning Commission is an advisory group.
Sure.
To the City Council. City Council actually writes checks and stuff. So what we do is we tell them, here's where you need to write the check. They're the ones that actually make the moves. So that's where we need the public. We need the public here, too. You guys keep coming back and bring some friends next time. But we really need some of these issues like that, big issues brought up to the council, so mm-hmm. The council sees that direction.
Well, you can also put something on the agenda.
Yep.
It takes a while, but you can have it so that you can actually get it addressed.
Yeah,
and
takes,
just comment on it.
It takes just, what, 1 week?
Well, it can take, they like to have a couple of weeks.
Okay, so.
And I think that was the policy issue they were kind of getting at is, okay, well, one, you think of, as a group, that the city should make a strong statement that you explore.
That's right.
And you think of airports as a benefit.
Yeah.
The second then question is, well, who takes the lead, and does the city own it, does the city not own it? Those are, kind of, I think, some of the more challenging questions that get exactly what you're saying.
Well,
that's better, you know.
The issue here is what this young lady said over here, is we had a good idea for a long time, but there was nobody could own it.
Mm-hmm.
The government wasn't going to give to Joe with the clean dry cleaners.
Mm-hmm.
You had to have port authority, you have to have a city, you have some way it has to be. But the guys in the north end, rather, in the south end, take outside the city, we can go start the same thing and get everybody to say yes and down to the last thing. We still got to come back to you. So it's your job, I think, to get it started. And it's not a Lapine airport. You want to remember, it's not a Lapine City airport.
Right.
It's a community airport.
Right,
it's
regional type. Mm-hmm. So
it's a regional or community, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
See, and that's how it works. If it's included here, the council adopts this document and says, we want to take a strong statement, then it's a matter of when you go to your council meeting, out of all the things in this document that they've said that they're going to do, which ones do they do first and which ones do they do second?
The guy told me the other day, he said, you know, there was three or four of them playing golf, and they said, we hope the city council don't do something to hurt us. And the other guy said, hell, you ain't got nothing to worry about. They ain't done them yet. And
I think you guys have things going on. Bring him off. Okay. And number nine was a question was asked about the administration of city business, specifically the hiring of a city manager and how those types of issues fit within the realm of the comprehensive plan. And there is verbiage in the comprehensive plan about a city manager.
The only relevance of how city business is run is under Goal 2, where the city is required to have a land use planning program. There is no place in the comprehensive plan to talk about personnel issues or anything at that level, other than having some sort of land use planning program, which this comprehensive plan is the first step. Second step is the zoning ordinance, and then the city council has to determine when they're going to switch jurisdiction from the county to the city. And usually at the time you adopt the zoning ordinance, you start developing your staff so that you can hire a planner or whatever. Mm-hmm. But this city manager business is doesn't fit into this comp plan.
Yeah, and that's a whole different...
ball of wax.
What that was, I didn't pick up on that on the recording. Did you discuss it in the meeting?
Yeah, a couple members from the chamber talked about it briefly, and because we really didn't want to use up all the comprehensive plan hearing time for that kind of issue, we kind of said the same thing, you know?
Okay. I think it was kind of a carryover from
the town hall meeting,
and they wanted to reiterate it because they knew that the city council was there.
I heard it as kind of a comment also, and it was a question like, what, you know, do we are we looking at hiring a city manager? I just got a cramp. Are we looking at doing, there's some faction out there that's pushing toward getting a city manager. They enjoyed Christine Nelson, she was here, and she left, and then now there's some other people that are saying, we need a city manager. So I think that's part of that. It's just kind of a carryover from that. It was more of a comment, and I've heard that from more than one people or several. It should be noted, but like Deborah said, in the comp plan, that's city business that isn't necessarily in a comprehensive 20-year plan telling the city how to do business. So.
Yeah, excuse me, John. Mm-hmm. Actually, the city council is going to address that in a work session on November 24th at 5 o'clock.
Really?
If people are interested.
Okay. And that higher level discussion belongs at the city council level because it's a budgeting item as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we might have that handy if for the people if they bring it up again.
Well,
I was just thinking if we address it or whatever during that.
Next. If the question comes up, we have an answer.
Right.
But we don't need
it. It would be a better place to
Number 10, there's a comment on page 2, number 2. There appears to be an error in reference number of acres. We've already basically talked about that. Land available for needed future population growth. James refigured that at 2,700 acres,
yeah,
right?
It's over 2,700 acres.
2,700 acres.
And we'll make that correction.
So that's done. Comment, conference plan map should be adjusted to reflect neighborhood convenience commercial at the Huntington Road, Burgess Road intersection based on the fact that there's an existing daycare in the property that has historically been used for commercial business purposes, which I declared that. Along with that,
it makes
are we going to have work with plan map because I have some other map issues.
We need to. Sooner the better, and you can do it in a work session format here, But the sooner we know, the sooner we can adjust the map and policies. I don't want to have our GIS people continually make changes. These are the kinds of sessions we should talk about them in.
Yeah, I don't think it's this time, but we should possibly set a date for that. In the next... Well, the public hearing is on the 18th, and then we actually weren't scheduled to meet again until December, it's like 16th. Patty, you have that on there?
16th.
December 16th. It's kind of, maybe we could take December off, but it doesn't look like that.
Well, we could also have a special meeting if you wanted to just talk about the map in a work session, and that's something that might be a good thing to do. We sit down with the map and say, okay, we'll walk you through it again, kind of talk about the things that the public has talked about so far, and then if you have changes or comments, probably need to...
What is on the schedule for the first week in December, or... So that we can have the input before you guys, you know, if we're, unless we're going to carry over the session. But, I mean, the goal is to have this done by right then.
Well, we've got Tuesday night isn't available. That's going to be the public hearing on the subway with the county.
Oh, yeah.
Wednesday looks clear. Thursday, nothing in the evening. Friday, nothing in the evening. That Monday of that week, I'm not seeing anything there.
Could we include it in that, just make a long meeting on December 16th and cover transportation?
You guys don't have a problem.
Yeah, if you, for example, if you, if you close the hearing on the next week, just close the hearing. If you don't hear anything new, let's say, okay, well, we've heard from the public. That could be one big work session, and you could come out with a final document and a final map. Make a recommendation.
That was kind of the goal. So
what time do we want to start?
Everything done on the 16th, it'd be, now we have basically two agenda items, the transportation systems plan, subcommittee exploration.
Are we talking the same thing? I think we were talking about the continuation of the public hearing. If we didn't hear anything at the meeting next week, that we could use that meeting to talk about the map.
December.
I was thinking next week, if we don't have a lot of public comment, let's use that meeting for the map discussion.
After the public hearing. And close that.
And then look, talk about the map.
I mean, if you only get 10 people there and you're not hearing anything new, as the Planning Commission, and I don't want to interrupt what you were talking about before, but it seems to me you could use that meeting, if you don't hear anything new, to sit down, okay, well, now we're going to look at the map, we're going to close the discussion, we're going to do our work.
What do you guys think?
Sounds good to me.
And then what would happen is, I think then, we Deborah and I, based upon your comments tonight, essentially what they're doing is giving us direction to go back and draft some language to bring back in. And we would come back with that, anything you came up with on the 18th, new stuff, and map changes. And then we come back to you, and on the 16th of December, we say,
Anita,
here's, we're 99.9% there. Any final changes that you want to make to the map, we urge you to make changes to the document.
And then we could get right into transportation. I just said, you know, this transportation issue is a big one with me. Dobie, what have you heard ever about any complaints or anything about Lapine in general? What do you always hear about? Life, quality of life in Lapine. What's the major gripe?
You mean since incorporation of the...
Well, just any time. Quality of life in Lapine. How about roads?
Well, I don't know. I love Lapine. It's kind of hard for me to You're going to trick me into saying something bad.
Dust.
Criminals, basically. A bunch of, trailer trash. I've heard that. Yeah. When we first moved here, we heard that from people, at the Bend Farmer's Market.
In
Bend.
Thank God we're evolving out of that.
But since I moved here, it's completely not that way. I've met these wonderful, most people and confident and interesting and, wonderful. I love this area. I love the people. I love everything about it.
I think part of what that comes from is because when I was growing up here is that no one lived in Lapine Central. No one. You rented. Yeah. The people that were renting lived in Lapine Central. Everyone else lived in the outskirts. Mm-hmm. And that was considered the nicer area.
It's better.
And it's
changing.
It has changed some, but it is still, due to the market downturn, due to different things, it's still very much a rental area.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you tend to get more transient people, you get more.
I've been in a strategic planning commission, or planning meeting since 3 o'clock in the morning. I wanted to come here tonight. Mm-hmm. But believe me, I'm not critical of Lapine. I love this place. I've been here 16 years, like I say, and people are really good to me. Every day people are good to me, and I really appreciate that. I just think that there's some opportunities here that, I don't care what it is, do something. Open the damn door and get something done. Get a stop right up or get an airport.
And one of the things they're working on is the road system. See, when you talk about sewer and water, that's under the roads. And then the roads. So roads is a real infrastructure, ground level thing. It has to come before other things, such as building anything above the ground. So when we talk about transportation, we're talking about just a basic ground level needs of Lapine. And they're working on schedule and antler and all that, getting those done, and actually spending some money on roads. And I'll believe when I see it, but it's supposed to be coming real soon, that they're going to do some asphalt or chip seal or something on those city roads right now. So that,
Which area are you talking about?
That schedule road area.
K-Road
750.
They had some roadwork plan, but I think they're going to put it off down to the spring because we're getting up against the weather.
And now we're getting into
unfortunately. Could I ask a question?
Yes.
You guys, I want to thank you for your time. I got to go.
Thank you very much, Toby. Remember that day.
My wife has been gone for 9 days. I've been home to talk to somebody.
Just briefly, people expect once their community is incorporated that there'll be expectations.
Really, it's true that there is a little bit of money coming in and some grants and everything, so hopefully we'll start seeing.
Mm-hmm. It's happening.
Something's happening.
You're on 11, Joel?
And so that's all covered under our meeting on the 18th then. Does everybody agree to have a continuation meeting on that night?
That's fine.
Yeah. I can agree to it because I may not be there.
Will you get us your comments in advance about the map, though?
Yes. My plan is to be there that night. But, Gloria, if I'm not, you have it.
Okay.
It all depends on a lot of different things. I'm working in Eugene now. And I have to leave at 4:30 to get here right now. So, if it isn't too much of a hardship, I really want to be there bad. But it's kind of a personal thing. Okay, so let's do that then. Let's continue. And maybe, I'll come with you. least make that. Okay. That's done. So, number 12. The area between Wakefield Junction on the north and the Lapine business area in the south should be developed with a commercial strip to better connect the two areas. This is due to the undeveloped forested nature of the area in between, which is reality right now. So that was basically back to...
We already talked about that.
Yeah. And, you know, and I just, a brief comment, like, in the future, development along an RV camp or whatever on that right, see that dark green on the
right? Yep.
You know, that's going to start filling in something like that.
Yep.
Get some park and rec stuff happening on that right that's currently owned by BLM, but soon will be the city's land within the next 20 years, hopefully. And so, and then there's, I don't know if I should really get into this, but see that the dark tan area to the north of the bright fuchsia or pink, whatever that is, right there. No, to the right. Mm-hmm. All that ground there that right now is a big pivot.
Yeah, for the sewage treatment plant.
You know, you can almost see some commercial in there when that pivot is moved to the right about half a mile. I'm just throwing it out.
Okay, this area which is undeveloped.
There's a pivot right here.
We proposed a center right there.
Yeah, this is shown as mixed use commercial.
Yeah, right there, but even more up
to the north.
Right up in there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, this future zoning type stuff.
If you get, it's going to be distances, if this area, which is undeveloped, which is a transition area, as this would be developed, you have about a almost half mile stretch of road here, and then you have, this is about a half mile stretch of road, and then you have another half. What you do is you really crank it down, you have like about, you have a shorter stretch.
Yeah. And then when, you know, and then you're talking about that neighborhood too, moving up kind of into that area on the west side of the highway. So, and then the highway actually, if I'm remembering right, that new highway curves off through to the right there.
Mm-hmm.
Cuts in through that and actually widens that neighborhood two area.
I know they're talking strips and commercial area and things like that, but I guess what I'm thinking is, in our plan, it states that we want whole communities, meaning that you said you don't have to drive 10 miles for a gallon of milk. And my question is, how do we go about allowing for some zoning within some residential areas that may allow things like the corner store. Without saying specifically it's zoned for this, it's within this community that we would say there's a certain percentage that may be allowed to be addressed as possible commercial.
You do it in the zoning ordinance.
Okay.
You talk about the need for those kinds of things as policies in the comp plan.
Okay. And then
but you don't locate them until they meet certain spatial requirements.
Okay.
And then it's called a variance? Mm-hmm. Is that?
No. You, for example, in your, you may put in your single family residential section, you may say, you could have standards, for example, that talk about all how you develop neighborhoods and everything, but you have a standard that says, within the single family residential zone, only along arterial roadways, small-scale commercial uses, and you could list what those are, shall be permitted. You know, so what happens is, if you have
closer than a half mile from
more than a half mile. You know, we're closer than a half mile to each other. So if you have something that would be considered a collector or a commercial road, it's the main road that all the other roads feed off of. Is it okay? Well, maybe it's appropriate that you have a corner store here and a corner store here, but you don't send it into the middle of the neighborhood on the local streets.
Okay.
It's along a street that already has a degree of traffic and it's busy and, so you put right on the standards, you can do that.
And while you were talking, I think we need a policy that says we need to examine the impact of the future ODOT expansion upon the community and make adjustments as necessary to this map.
Yes, definitely.
You okay with that?
Yeah, because that's actually been approved all the way through ODOT anywhere, and now headed to legislation.
Well, that better describes what we mean by that. We could jump to the
area. Yeah.
Right. That's nice.
Put the there's a group called New Organization Movement or something, where they, you know, have very people-friendly neighborhoods, you know, where and you've got the homes, more like they have in Europe, where you've got the homes are close, and then the little square, you know, and it has the schools and the little shops and the delis and this and that. You can walk to there. You've got areas for your children to play, little parks and stuff like this, a lot of areas for dogs. But you know, every little area just within walking distance has everything you need on a day-to-day level, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think more and more that's going to be the way of the future. Mm-hmm. Not just some strip mall here and there and you got to drive forever, you know, to get to there. Mm-hmm. Yep. But that's a much more friendly...
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And they only have like driving on the outskirts or not within... I mean, there's even areas where you don't have...
Yeah,
yeah,
or it's limited,
you know.
Yep. You know,
it's your population.
Yeah, that would just be so nice. I mean, that's where you look at a sustainable community. I look at these pictures from Italy and I go nuts, you know, because they still look beautiful, even though they're like 1,000 years there. It's amazing, you know.
That's another, really, another one of our committees, isn't it, is going to be looking at the town or the city or, you know, what kind of a city we want to have, what we want to look like.
Yeah, like a theme, I guess.
You will when you get into the zoning ordinance, because when you start dealing with how properties are affected with physical limitations or creativity, you want to really think about it in the context of what are you going to make properties do to get to the vision.
Right, right.
And here we're saying the community breaks out into three neighborhoods that we want to be sustainable following those objectives, whether it's whatever label you put on it. You want neighborhoods to be places where kids can walk and get things. Mm-hmm. If you design it for pedestrians and kids, everything else really falls into place.
Yeah.
So we'll do a lot of that in the zoning ordinance.
It's, you know, just
two gardens.
The tricky part is, and you'll see it. It's some of what the county tried to do, but their design was not in that area there. Those are some policy questions, because we heard at a lot of our public meetings, there's also a lot of people that want their big lot, and they just, in a less dense neighborhood. Mm-hmm. So there's that, how does that get balanced?
Right. Mm-hmm.
The tricky thing is, if you have areas where you can do that type of development, that's new development, people can move in there, they make that choice. The tricky thing is when you start trying to retrofit or put some of those things in existing neighborhoods, where, you know, if you have an existing neighborhood pattern, all of those folks will probably say, you know what, it's great if I could walk down to the end of the road, get a movie, and
I'm ready to go, not right next door to
So it's like, okay, well, how do you put it, okay, if it's going to be next door to me, I have to live on that busy street. Okay, so it's not disrupting me like it is the person down the road at the end of the cul-de-sac, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So when you get into those standards, those are the things.
That's where it's done.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Okay, do we have any other from the commission language or comments or questions on the comp plan? I have one on page 33. It says historic resources, and it said add in PATH data. Any comments?
Yes.
I don't know. Is PATH the county?
PATH was the grant recipient for the historical resource inventory.
That's PATH. What's your name?
Cleaver.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we plan to put in as an appendix. It would fill this room if we were to print it out.
But
so we just have it as a resource.
Could we do something like that, and then, but also maybe for the city to consider, the Pine, especially going into 2010 is our 100th year centennial. It's this whole next year is just going to be wild with the historical data and whatnot. I'd like to see something about, you know, some sort of a depot in our land use plan for historical buildings. some sort of historic, possible historical district, something to that effect. We only have a few buildings here, and the ones that are here, I really want to preserve them. There's not many, but there's a few. And the park and rec already started, you know, a depot out on the 40 acres out of Huntington. They put the old church and school and Forest Service office or something.
I went to church there when I first moved.
Yeah, the church.
Except it wasn't located.
No, but and you know, in that area, it could be a little sideshow effect like that out in there, parky type deal. But I'm talking about a little more serious kind of historical district within the city.
Okay, because the only thing we have in here right now is the city shall coordinate with Deschutes County for the protection of historic resources. And essentially what that is saying is that you will protect those resources that have already been so designated as historic resources. It doesn't say anything that... what I heard you say is, and tell me if I'm wrong, is that you want to look at potentially creating new...
Yeah. The city of Lapine, because there's some folks here that I think would jump on that committee.
And that's the thing. The language I was doodling when you were talking was a policy that is something like consider how to incorporate the historical elements of Lapine within the community as a way to preserve and enhance local heritage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, the council's going to hate us, but I don't care, because we've got to get moving on this stuff.
And it is a subcommittee task.
We're getting ready to get going.
It won't be terribly popular with the larger majority of the community, but it's necessary work.
Yeah, something like that would be great.
Okay.
Okay, so essentially, how do you create new historic resources? Recognize those, protect them.
Well, the only concern I have is that I probably live in one, and I don't want people telling me what I can and can't do to my...
Yeah, we've been through this.
Well, if you get in that 50-year federal,
mine was built in 1921, so... And it was a railroad, and it moved.
Yeah, you're definitely right there.
Well, when they were identifying them, didn't they have the choice...
That choice exists today. It's a big issue that a subcommittee would be perfect to handle while the rest of the bigger things get done with.
Well, and I see it too. We've got some old buildings and stuff, and it would be nice if they've been moved before, they've been moved 100 times. You know, it'd be nice if we could see that as protecting those buildings and maybe moving them and forming it.
You see that little Fort Rock area down there? Isn't that the neatest little Fort Rock?
Oh.
You see that little
town?
Yeah,
yeah, okay.
I mean, it's kind of Disneyland.
Yeah, it's been moved a couple times.
But there's huge potential and a lot of choices and a lot of sifting through data.
So we'll come back to the policy.
I do on that order, you know, on developing sustainable small businesses and that kind of thing, you know, bed and breakfast and restaurants. But there's other things that we can develop within this area that are already got a history here, like mountain man type of events, camp fair and cooking events, wagon train. I had a friend who just called me yesterday. I used to listen to her talking, and she's been 25 years now on this wagon train that goes every year from Tahoe to Sacramento, 100 miles, and it takes several days, and there's all this costumes, and, you know, there's all this stuff, vendors, and people that make do the horse stuff, people who make the wagons, people who do everything, you know.
There's some communities in this country that are totally run by the historical society. I mean, run. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't mind opening up and saying, you know, a certain subcommittee, and if it be the will of the people that you know
But if we had more...
Historical Society run La Pine. I don't care, but there needs to be some little start to that.
Don't we have a committee that was formed before us, that's the tourism and things like that?
Sure,
and
those chamber is... The chamber has a lot of people that would want to...
Well, I'm just thinking, there is a tourism committee.
And you don't have to be a resident of the city to be on it.
Right. So I'm just thinking, a lot of those...
I'm thinking, if we wanted to, let's say, hold events, you know, hold... derby contest and a contest between the fishing guides and teach kids to precision casting or day or something like this. I mean, there's all kinds of things that you can do that the city, if it defines itself, it's interesting how the city defines
itself. You know, there's so much.
If you go to the big resorts, then you've got a whole different ballgame. That's a huge.
As long as we have a start to this historical side, then it might explode. It may not, but I think we need to give it that, or Centennial coming up.
Well, we have an area. Well, area didn't want to do it. Mm-hmm. Like Tahoe has what they call this museum area. But they took all these little buildings that used to be scattered around. They put it in this little. But I mean, we could have logging stuff, Indian stuff.
The way to handle that is through the livability section of the plan,
mm-hmm.
the economic development section,
yep.
where we talk about community promotion,
mm-hmm.
and how that's the responsibility of a variety of agencies. In terms of addressing the land use planning goals,
right.
we can make provisions so that those things can happen, mm-hmm. but they're actually run by other agencies.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right. You have the infrastructure where you can have the common ground, you can have these kind of events.
That's where we can
or if you say a new business is going on and they're going to have a hitching post, a place where people could buy their horse up and buy their horse up or a carriage or something, that'd be cool.
Pay a toll so that when we have to pick up poop.
you can do that, or you can stuff kick it on your fridge.
Okay, we move around along. We've got other matters now.
I attended the meeting at the county planning. The planning commission presented the ordinance. So they have a reading of the ordinance on the utilities in the industrial section. Adele was there also. We both spoke. I didn't get all the information. First of all. That was the first thing I had a problem with, and I thought perhaps it was because I hadn't been to some of the meetings, but I found out later that I did not get the information. So they kept referencing the plant, or their, that's not what it was, their staff report. They kept referencing their staff report, and I didn't know what they were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that they got into was the 100-foot smoke stack.
Mm-hmm.
And Adele had a problem with it, and I did too, because the way that it was worded, I'm seeing, or what I'm feeling, is basically what they're wanting us to do is just rubber stamp everything they do. They present it to us in a general format,
mm-hmm.
and then when it goes before the planning commission, or the county commissioners, they say the planning commission from the city of La Pine approved.
Mm-hmm. But they tinkered in the meantime.
That's it.
Uh-huh.
Well,
mm-hmm.
right. And that's where I'm having a problem. I found out later that, and they actually, Tammy brought it up. They were, because I thought, well, okay, they have said that we could, when they go to do the land use, the permitting, the conditional permitting,
mm-hmm.
that we could make some adjustments. And Tammy Bainey said, actually, it's not exactly like that. Once it's allowed,
mm-hmm.
then the city planning commission would have a difficult time saying
sure.
no.
Sure.
After that meeting, I found out the next day that now this green company presented their plans and they want an 80-foot building.
Mm-hmm.
which here in Lapine, generally, the buildings are 30 feet. The industrial, they have allowed an exception of 45 feet. And that's what it, that's what Dennis Luke said. That's the general. And now they want, you know, there's in their plans, they want a building that's 80 feet high.
So the question is, where does the stat go? Is that, then it would go 80 feet, then up to the 100? Or how does
it's,
it?
Yeah, like 92 feet.
I don't even know what that looks like. Do any of you know how
it
many?
It shouldn't matter. You don't write a code for one user.
See, that's what
my problem was.
And you're all extremely logical people. You're all going to come to that same conclusion. The first request we had was, wait a minute, your industrial zone doesn't allow utility facilities.
Right.
And
right.
We all said, that should be fixed.
Mm-hmm.
That should be the only issue.
Right.
If BioGreen has a unique feature and you want to fit into the community, there's a process for dealing with those unique situations. Mm-hmm. When you go through this process that the county's been doing, and all of a sudden BioGreen says, but wait about this. Forget about
yeah.
And now I need, and you can't do good land use planning. So the county's doing what they feel is appropriate. You're stuck in a situation where you really don't have total control.
Right.
And you can only make a recommendation. The legality of it is, should there be an appeal, and the county explained this as well, we come back to the city council for review. So at this point, if you feel the right thing is to add the utility facilities, have a cap on tower height, and leave it at that, that should be your recommendation. If you don't feel that all the other tinkering that's added in at the last minute mm-hmm. is something that you've had adequate time to review, you should say that.
And actually, the Planning Commission, their recommendation was that they would not deal with the building height at this particular point. They did ask if we would give them a letter after our discussion tonight, just, you know, letting them know what we decided we wanted to do. And that's where I'm at. My objection to the whole thing was that, like you said, if you approve it the way they're going to do it, there could be five other buildings pop up and we would have no say.
That's right.
I really would like to look at each one of those things that are going to be put in there once we have our cross.
And that's something you should.
Because I don't want five BioGreen plants in there, you know. But it's just those kinds of things really made me feel very uncomfortable. And Adele felt the same way, so I wasn't alone.
Well, and that's how I actually felt when they first brought up the stack issue, because I thought this was just a general adjustment, not for something specific like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, where did this come from? And so I wasn't thrilled the first time, and now when I hear it, I don't like the, oh, we forgot. It's like your kid. I need 20 bucks. Now I need another 100 because I have to pay for that.
The presentation to this planning commission.
You're in a tough spot because you don't have total authority.
No.
And if you're not comfortable, you should not feel like you can't say so. Here's the bottom line. Utility facilities gets added into the zoning code. Let's just say that happens. BioGreen makes an application to the county. If something in the code needs to be amended or varied, they could apply for a variance or a conditional use permit to exceed height. Mm-hmm. There are different ways for them to proceed. If at that point the code still doesn't work for them, they can apply for a text amendment to change the code to help them. But this back and forth tinkering, I don't think is clear for you.
Well, and I, you know, like I said, I'm new. I don't know, you know, but it just didn't feel right.
You know. Now, Adele had called me, I just want to let you know, and asked me about this 100-foot thing. And she said they also had mentioned that DEQ would have some requirements for stack height. And that would be the state law that kind of supersedes what we would do because it's based upon their physical needs, based on the kind of production that they do. That made sense to me.
Yeah, and is in it. It says that. But
yeah.
They put the other part.
That part made sense to me. But if you haven't had a chance to review this as a full body,
mm-hmm.
then do what you're comfortable with.
you know, I think we shouldn't, you know, tell BioGreen that absolutely, you know, we don't want you anywhere near us. We don't know what, you know, we haven't seen a design, we haven't seen it. So maybe just a letter stating that, you know, that we're looking forward to the economic development that your company would bring to this area. Welcome that type of, you know, have language that would welcome in that sense. However, it's such a drastic change to our, you know, geographical environment that we really need to have more information before we can fully support the construction phase of it.
What a lot of jurisdictions do is, Deborah's right, I agree with you, you don't write code language for one user, because then it allows wholesale sellout to
another.
Right. But on the other end, you say, okay, well, they can apply for a variance to that standard. Variance, variance criteria, sometimes it's the test for variance is, a lot of times, is that it's for reasons beyond your control. Well, you'd say, well, they can redesign the building, mm-hmm. so your variance is denied. Now you're not coming here. Mm-hmm. What jurisdictions do, and what I think you should be given an opportunity to look at, are maybe some exceptions. You say, here's the height limit, 45 feet. Except, and you have a couple different criteria, that if it's a DEQ requirement for that, and you have a letter from DEQ, okay, well, now we know why you need to exceed that height limit. Mm-hmm. Or other very specific, stringent rationale to exceed that standard, but just to wholesale, just change it for one user.
Yeah.
Just accept, you know.
Yeah,
it's always good reasons to do something different. Have them tell you what are those reasons.
Yeah. Well, and I wouldn't want to preclude us or tie us to something that wouldn't give us any kind of wiggle room. But I just do, I think when it's going to affect the community, we need to have more of an opportunity, not just a blanket.
Yeah.
You know, okay.
It sounded like the county was just looking for immediately us to write a letter that's in support of everything. I mean, is it?
Well, basically, yeah. Well, they said we had already supported the utility with the 100-foot stack. We never supported that.
There was discussion about the 100-foot stack.
Yes, it was.
Did we actually say we missed that?
Oh, I
just
didn't
say that. Because there's a microwave tower that was 250 feet.
Just down the road.
What is that?
Well, there's a microwave tower. It's 250 feet.
Is that the one on... Okay, because I'm in my own mind trying to figure out. Now, I was told that was 120.
The microwave tower?
Yeah.
Ted Scholler said that it was 250. Okay.
That would make more sense,
or whatever,
given the technology.
250?
Needs to be kind of...
Okay. And so, you know, when I look at BioGreen is applying for permit, and it's within 200 feet of a 250 foot, and they're they're proposing 100 foot. I mean, but it's a whole different thing when a big stack and a building, especially a building that goes up 80 feet. I'm an iron worker by trade. That's my other hat I wear. That will block out sunlight on the north end.
It's about as tall as St. Charles.
The 80 feet is a good sized building.
In downtown Bend, there's a building that was just finished in the past couple of years on the corner of Franklin and Bond.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Crossing.
Right.
That is 70 feet tall at the top.
Yeah, it's 77
stories.
A lot of times those industrial type, I envision industrial type buildings being this real skinny, though, like a, they have a stack alongside it, and then they have actually machine rooms. It isn't a whole block. In square going up 80 feet, a smaller portion of it, but still, it would loom in that area right there.
But the bottom line is, you haven't had an opportunity as a planning commission to be presented
to see
this building data, and I think you have to defer judgment because that's more appropriate.
And what's nice is artist conceptions. I mean, you take a geographical artist conception of how those things really help me to see.
Yeah, they can do the superimposed where they on a photo
and just impose it right on there.
Pretty much what it looks like.
Well, and you know, I personally don't have a problem with the biogreen with the stack, but I don't want to have five or six of them.
And just all of a sudden,
you know, I don't want to give a carte blanche that says it's okay to do that, and you don't ever have to come to us with your plan as long as it's under that.
That's why a variance, we look at each particular situation and not just do a blanket zone.
But let's make sure we understand what the group as a total is comfortable with. Utility facilities in the zone.
Yes.
That's okay. Mm-hmm. We did talk about the 100-foot stacks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The building was not presented or discussed thoroughly.
Mm-hmm. First time ever.
I think that has to be deferred in your judgment right now because that issue wasn't presented and it really deserves an individual review.
Mm-hmm. Maybe let me know without seeing an artist's conception of or that photo, and whatever.
Can we add to that we feel it's more appropriate to deal with as a variance if they want to present it as such?
I would say a separate land use process where the public can weigh in.
That's
and that
I
you
think.
Have an opportunity to view it thoroughly.
Sure.
Right. Because if that goes in as a way it's presented now, guess who's going to catch, you know, it's going to look to us as we're being the ones making that decision. We're not.
And can we request a certain amount of time for review before it? Because this last time, they threw in that 100-foot stack at the last second. It was not in the paperwork that
they talked about it at the meeting.
It was at the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so we're like, I mean, Gloria just said, we actually talked about it.
She poo-pooed that it was no big deal because you could always address that in your, you know, in your use permits or whatever.
I think what you talk about in the letter is what you're comfortable with and what you're not comfortable with, but that the county process and hopefully the future city process will examine this in detail. I don't think you go much beyond that because you don't want to be labeled as anti-biogreen or anything like that. So let's be comfortable with what you have felt you had the most exposure to and you were able to weigh the issues in your mind. Anything else that was new and wasn't presented to you, how can you tell the public you reviewed it? You can't.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't.
So you don't want to get caught up in that.
Mm-hmm.
That's just my
decision. No, I agree with you, totally. And that's, you know.
How about that's the second letter we draft for you to take a look at? You figure out whether you like it or not.
That's great. When does that need to be presented to them by?
Oh, they'll probably want it yesterday.
Yeah, second reading is on the 30th of November.
Oh, we have a little bit of time? Okay.
So, I mean, I know they would like to have it as soon as possible.
Maybe you could look at that.
But they are going to close the hearing on that day also.
We'll definitely have it ready for you.
Yeah.
They have an emergency clause on it, too.
Next week,
yeah.
That's will become effective immediately.
Yep.
Alrighty. Any other matters?
I just wanted to mention the Shepherd House. I don't know. I would like to contact them to see what exactly the size dimensions are, things like that. I know they're A-frames.
Mm-hmm.
That the article stated that they would sleep 4 to 6 people. They did not have running water facilities or toilets, but they were heated. My, depending on the size, I guess this kind of goes back to, we all have pet peeves in La Pine. Some of them are the signage for a lot of people. My concern is that we have certain areas that are already existing that basically are homeless shelters for people. And if it's possible that we could work with these entities to replace possibly some of their facilities that are in RV parks, for example, that provide facilities for showering and for that they would have access to water and to toilet services and things like that already, depending on the size of these units. I don't know what the sizes are. Is that we could possibly work at zoning them for something appropriate like that?
So you could identify like places on the map, not necessarily the plan map, but in the zoning code.
Yes.
Where
if these facilities are available, that these could also be used in place of the.
You talked about a key aspect, a community housing issue like this. The people who have the A-frames, it would be really helpful if they could make a mini presentation to the city council to give the details, and then the city council could direct staff or whoever to research where the best appropriate place would be. RV parks that already have facilities set up. You know, getting the information first is really important, and then figuring out what to do with it is number two.
Right. But that was just one of the things that, because there are certain, it's hard to even call them an RV park, but they are.
It's a housing choice. It may not be the best choice.
Right.
But
for some people, it may be their only choice.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. So, and it.
But you're also looking at temporary.
And I would say not a lot of these people are living in these temporarily, due to the fact of the conditions of the actual. I mean, most of them, if they can, would choose to make it temporary.
I'm just thinking, you know, an RV park is owned by somebody.
Right, but what I was thinking was if we can work with, it's kind of like what you had said about the signage. It's best to go to the, you know, to promote it in a positive way, that possibly Shepherd House could maintain the facilities, meaning that they still own them, but they provide them for the facility, and they may be able to charge for the space rent to the person that's living in it, for example. Yeah. Depends on the size and things like that.
Cities can provide incentives for private landowners
to make
to allow this. Reduction of SDC taxes, all kinds of different incentives that. They just open it up to where it makes it very desirable for private entities to get involved and stuff like that. So,
but when you look, it's like you had mentioned before that these are areas that we can look at as possible transition zones because they're not permanent, you know, like buildings that don't have foundation and that could change over time. And unfortunately, in a lot of these areas, it's not like we're bringing in a new element. The element's already there.
Right.
It's not like people are going to stay.
Right.
It just would be possibly improving the living conditions for the people that are having to live in those situations.
It's a great discussion topic, and it's one the community deserves to weigh in on.
The direct, Linda Johnson is the name of the woman who's a director for the Shepherd's House. I don't have her phone number.
I was just going to bring it up on the.
She's the director.
I had tried to contact her via email, but I hadn't heard back, so I thought, well, if it's something we would like to presented, possibly.
You can report back on that, and that's let's look at that. I'd like to hear a report back on that.
Okay.
Just a growing problem nationally in this country, you know. And there's so many people living in their cars right now. I myself, you know, several years ago, you know, was actually homeless, you know, living in a trailer outside of Sacramento because there were 80 different RV parks, none of which would accept children. They would take dogs, but they wouldn't take children. So I ended up having to live in some godforsaken place and commute, you know, 30 miles into town to the school secretary. Had a kid who had cancer, and so we had to put our vehicles, we lost our house, everything else, $225,000 in debt. I mean, this can happen to just about anybody.
Right.
And so, and right now is a time when it's even worse, you know, and it's going to get worse, you know. And if we're going to be a compassionate community, which I hope we are, and I think we really are, it'd be really nice to see, I'd love to have people stay in places that are heated.
I had emailed Coleman Tents, Wenzel Tents, a couple other people with a concept I had to provide temporary homeless shelters, and these private companies, neither one of them, none of them contacted me back.
Yeah, that's right. When you get down,
it's kind of societal.
All of a sudden, there's nothing.
You're right.
People don't want to talk, they just want them to go out, go to another town.
But when you have it right in city center.
Exactly.
You can't.
You might as well deal with it.
Deal with it in the best way possible.
Sometimes just putting close to the police where they can be safe, you know.
They call them couch, people get it.
They don't feel like they're there.
House to house, and they're actually homeless.
78.
But they don't, well, they don't count.
Oh, yeah. Have you done 100 kids in the school district that are considered homeless?
Something I'd like to work on, I think. Okay, if nothing else.
I know, one other thing, I'm sorry, but I have some resources here, if anybody's interested.
Or the future.
I know, I need you, I need you back. I'll get it back, yeah.
Yeah, she's got it back.
But if anybody else wants to follow that video, I would really suggest looking at it.
It is an eye-opener. End of suburbia.
Yeah, you really gotta see it. If you're thinking ahead in time,
okay, well,
I would want people, as many people as possible, to see that video that I gave to John. And also, I've got two more, and a couple of books, so let me just give you these.
Yeah, just make sure she gets them back, and thank you, man.
Yeah, and because they're really important in terms of long-term planning, honestly.
I got one more thing, too. I did go to the meeting, the comprehensive plan meeting the other night, and there were several things that were brought up. One was the water, again, and the concerns about the water. There was a lot of discussion about the septic system. I found out that not very long ago in Bend, your septic system was a pipe out in your yard and that's the ground. It was like 30 years ago.
Yeah.
And so that was kind of interesting, but we basically, there was a lot of ideas about what, you know, how we need to grow and change and not change, and it was back and forth, so it was kind of interesting. I'm glad I went. So.
That's great. Yeah, those are always interesting meetings.
You know, they still have those infusion wells in bed. They're all over us about, you know, having our septic systems. That's what they do. They collect.
They say they no more exist.
Yeah, they do.
I'm sure they do.
Also, just to let you know that if there is, like, a need for someone, for us to attend, I don't always get to check my email right away, so.
That was kind of last minute.
No, I know, and I wouldn't have been able to go in anyway. It was.
Yeah.
One of those days. So, but if in the future, I don't know if you guys have my phone number. I know that the city has my number, so if they need to try and call me, that I would try to fill in if possible. But yeah,
no. But I just wanted you to, you know, just be ready just in case for November 18th.
When?
The chair, November 18th.
Yes.
Okay. We'll see how it goes. Thank you.
Yes.
All righty then. Anything else? All right, we adjourn this meeting at 9:08 p.m.
Go home and get some sleep.
Yes.
What time do you get to go over there in the morning?
3:00.